Today, we are going to be talking about a family meeting. The family meeting is a lesson from the book of Malachi. Remember, God is speaking to his kids. He's speaking to them, and there's going to be then 400 years where he goes silent. And so he's giving them some family instruction. This is how we're going to live this thing out. And then there's going to be 400 years, and then Jesus is going to come. We celebrate it as Christmas. One of the great things that God did for us, that he came and he lived on this earth and he died and he rose again. Amen. Let's pray before we get to this. Father, we come. We thank you for who you are. We thank you that you sent your son, Jesus. We did not deserve it. We were rebels, caught in our sin, and you rescued us from certain death because of what Jesus did for us, that perfect lamb that was sacrificed for us, his blood shed for us, the punishment we deserved, he took. And we're thankful for that this morning. God, as we open your word, we ask that that you would just change our hearts, that we would be more like your son, Jesus, that we would see you a little more clearly, that we would obey you in all that you have for us today. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Every year I take my boys along with some other guys to something called Man Camp. And the idea comes out of our men's study. It is men's 33. And men's 33, if you're not familiar with, meets on Thursday mornings at 6:33, and it really tracks through what does it look like to be a man according to the scriptures. What does it look like for us to live out our calling that God has given us? And it's pretty awesome stuff. But one of the things that we like to do, or one of the things, ideas that came out of there, was to take your boys and to start to pour into them. And I have four boys, and so Eric Ostie and I started doing this a couple of years ago, and we started to bring our kids out, pour into them, just love on them. And this past year, we went to the Carter property. The Carter property is the property that the church inherited, was given to us. And it's about 126 acres over by Bramer Road. It's really awesome. There's a house up there. And so we thought we would take the boys there, do some shooting, do some other things at that place. The idea is that we would pour into them, teach them what does it mean to be men, celebrate that that God had created them in a certain way. It's teaching them things like how do you protect women? Like, what does that look like? What God has called us to do this? What does this look like in our culture? What does it look like to look somebody in the eyes and to say, hey, I don't know how to get there. Give me some directions. Right? It's things like that that we're trying to teach them and trying to instill in them. Every year we have some type of celebration with them, kind of a rite of passage type of a thing. In our house, at 8 years old, you get a knife. You get a pocket knife. And at 9 years old, you get a slingshot and so on. And it's really just saying we trust you, we care about you, we want you to enjoy how God has created you. And also at Man Camp, one of the things that we do, we have some different rules that we don't abide to during the regular year. And for those couple of days, there are things like you don't have to chew with your mouth closed. You don't have to. Napkins, those are really optional. You've got pants, so go ahead and use them. Toothbrushes, those are optional also. We have candy and Capri Suns and fun drinks like that. And we have a bunch of chips and things that are of not great nutritional value. And we also have good food there too. And they are allowed to self-monitor. And that first day, our candy and our snack food, it takes a major hit. Major hit. They will eat garbage food until they're almost sick. This past year, one of the young fellows that was with us, he ate so much garbage in the middle of the night, he felt really sick and said he didn't feel good, went outside. I don't know if he threw up, but I think he threw up. And so garbage literally came out. And the next day, guess what happened? He did a better job of self-monitoring. Yeah. I'm not sure our wives really like this idea, and they don't think it's a good idea. They think it's a little bit crazy. You know, they're worried about their little pumpkins and have expressed their opinions on this, and to which we have responded, it's only for a couple of days. We're not saying this should be an option all the time. But for this short period of time, it's a really quick way and a valuable lesson of self-control. And so we teach them that. The passage of scripture that we're going to be looking at today, the priests are allowing the people to feast on spiritual garbage all the time, not just for a couple of days. And in the physical world, it is also much like the spiritual world. If you feast on garbage, then garbage is going to come out. And so remember, God is trying to speak to his children. He's speaking to us, to their situation. He's having a family meeting. He's relating to them as children. He's a father loving on his kids, having a family meeting, going, here's some direction. This is what's going to happen. We're going to now discuss your spiritual diets because it's not good. So if you have your Bibles, turn to Malachi chapter 2. And it says this, "And now, O priest, this command is for you. If you will not listen, if you will not take it to heart to give honor to my name, says the Lord of hosts, then I will send the curse upon you, and I will curse your blessings. Indeed, I have already cursed them because you did not lay it to heart." So what's going on here is God is speaking to the priest. The priests are the pastors of the Old Testament. They're to lead and to feed, to lead and to feed. That is their responsibility. They're to lead the children of Israel and to feed the children of Israel in all things that are spiritual, in all spiritual guidance. The priest is acting really as a spiritual parent here on earth for the people. So you need to have that in your mind as we read through this. And he says to them, if you do not listen, Father, he's saying to the father is speaking to his kids. He says, hey, to the leaders, hey, if you do not listen, this is really, really important what I'm about to talk to you about. All of us who have had kids, we've had kids who have not listened to us. We say, hey, listen up, and they're not listening to us, and they misstep or they go in a different direction. And God is a relational God, and so we can talk to him. He talks to us, and when he talks, we should listen. One day I was at Houghton Elementary School. To kind of illustrate this, I was at Houghton Elementary School, and Finley, our youngest, he had a common cold. And so I had to go down to the school to administer, to give him some medication. This isn't a cold that you would keep him away from school. It was just a common cold, sniffles, headache type of a thing. And so I was going to go there and give him some ibuprofen. And so I went there, and usually you just hand it off to the secretary, and then they call the student up, and then they come, and the student takes the medication. Well, she said, well, they're down at the lunchroom. You can go down right now to the lunchroom. So Finley's in first grade, and so the kindergartners and the first graders were all in this room. It was very, very loud when I walked in there. And the other thing that I noticed in there was that they had their hats on and some type of outerwear on. And when you're a kindergartner or a first grader and you're in, there's like 250 of you, you don't look all that different from the guy next to you. I couldn't find him. I didn't know where he was. And so finally I find him and I give him the medicine, and it's so loud in there. He's trying to say something to me, but I literally cannot hear him. And then all of a sudden I hear this, some ninja move thing, and everyone does the same thing. Everyone does the same. The kids repeat this and it goes dead silent. Mr. Hill then comes, the principal, and says something to the students. It was amazing. It was like a ninja. He got all these kids to be quiet in a very short amount of time, and they responded. But in this moment, this is what God's doing. He's doing a clappy, snappy ninja move to the people of Israel. He's saying, hey, you listen. If you will not listen, this is really, really, really important. If you do not listen, if you will not take it to heart to give honor to my name, says the Lord of hosts. This idea of honor is all through the book of Malachi. Really big theme in the book of Malachi. And it says that if you don't honor my name, I'll send a curse on you, and I will curse your blessings. And this idea is all through this thing, that you need to honor the name of God. He's trying to tell the priest, you need to honor my name. Well, how do you curse your blessings? How does God curse your blessings? You know, the Bible says that children are a blessing, right? We love our kids around here, and they are a blessing from God. God gives us children as a blessing, but we can curse our own blessings. And how do we do that? How do we curse our little blessings? By teaching them things that are not biblical, that are not helpful, that are actually hurtful to them. In the same way you put food in front of your kids to feed them, the same holds true for feeding their soul. God gives us kids as a blessing, and he says, if you put garbage into their soul, you are really cursing your blessings. And so that's what God is saying. He says, hey, the priests are really cursing their blessings. The things that they're saying to them is garbage. It's poppycock. It's silliness. It's not true. And so because of that, they're actually cursing their blessing. It's becoming a curse to the people. Remember, these priests are really kind of this earthly spiritual parents of the children of Israel. And they're not leading well. Why? Because they're not following. They're not following well. Good leaders lead, but they follow. And they're not following what God has for them, what he has prescribed to them. You know, that is true in leadership all over. That if you're going to be a good leader, you're going to be a good follower. And so at home, at work, at church, it doesn't matter. Leadership, it partially is that you need to be a good follower so that you can be a good leader. To be a good teacher, you need to be a good student. A good student is a good listener. Their problem is that they're horrible. The priests were horrible students. And yet they're called to be teachers. Because they are bad students, they have bad followers. Students who don't listen are not honoring their teachers. A little boy, he's in a classroom, and the teacher says, hey guys, you need to quiet down. You need to quiet down, guys. We're going to get through this lesson. This is really important stuff, and I want you to have fun. And afterwards, if we get through this, we'll play a game. The kid looks at the teacher, and he looks up at him, and he says, well, get on with it so we can get to the game. Not so honoring in that moment, right? And this is kind of the posture that the priests have. There's a cycle of honor with God. And it's really pretty simple. We listen with our ears, we take it to heart or agree, and we obey. Listen, agree, obey. Listen, agree, obey. That's the cycle of honor. It shows like, hey, what you said was important. I believe what you're saying. I agree with it, and I'm going to be obedient to it. That is not what these guys were doing. They were off the cycle of honor. That's what God, it wasn't just like, they were saying, oh, God is good, God is great, all of those things. But what they were not doing was being obedient to what he had said to them. So they may have said that God is great or whatever, but they were not being obedient to what he was saying. They were not agreeing with what he was saying. They were not listening to what he was saying. And in the text, God keeps referring to himself as the Lord of hosts. What that is referring to is the God who rules over the heavenly hosts. This is the angels and the demons. So the story in the Bible is this, that before we were created, there were spiritual beings. They were created to be God's ministers. They were there to be God's messengers. They functioned kind of like God's staff. And they were supposed to listen, to take it to heart, and then honor God by obeying him, right? Some of the angels decided they weren't going to listen. They would rather than receiving it in their hearts, they were going to harden their hearts. And rather than obeying God, they were going to be disobedient to God. These angels, we now call them by a different name, and that name is demon. They're fallen angels. They're rebels. A third of the angels were kicked out of heaven. They were the demons that were kicked out of heaven, and they were cast down to earth. So you have angels who choose to listen, agree, and obey, and you have angels who didn't listen. They didn't agree, and they didn't obey. Here's the big idea. When God speaks to us, we have one of two choices. One is angelic, and the other is demonic. One is angelic, and one is demonic. When God speaks to you, you have two choices. I heard, I agree, and I will obey. That's angelic. or I don't have ears to hear, I don't agree, and I'm not going to obey. That's demonic. That is one of the most crucial things in the Christian life is, are you listening? Are you taking to heart? Are you doing and obeying what God has said, is saying? I want to take just a moment and tell you how God speaks to us, because I think that's important. Every parent, you want to communicate to your kids. It doesn't matter how old they are or how young they are. You want to communicate to your kids, and God's no different. He's a good, good father, and he wants to communicate. Some of you communicate to your kids on the phone. Some of them you do it face to face. Some of you do it through some type of video portal that you're FaceTiming them. Some of you text them or IM them or Facebook them, and whatever your portal is, there's a way that you're communicating. And God is no different. There's ways that he communicates to us. He speaks to us. And he wants us to listen. He wants us to agree. And he wants us to obey. So one of the ways, and the primary way, is the scripture. If you're a seasoned Christian, you know this. If you're new to the faith, this might be new information. We open the Word of God to get a word from God. We open the Word of God to get a word from God. Malachi wrote this down for the people of Israel, but he also wrote it down for us. For us to understand, for us to be obedient, to agree and be obedient to God. We believe that the scriptures, we believe here at Evangel, that the scriptures are the highest court. So think about our judicial system. You have lower courts, and then you have the highest court. What's the highest court? Supreme Court. This is the Supreme Court. This is the Supreme Court right here. For if you're a follower of Jesus, if it is in here, you should be obedient to it. There's judgments in here. There's speaking of truth in here. This is the Supreme Court. And so nothing goes against what's in here. So it doesn't matter what culture does. Doesn't matter what your buddy says. Doesn't matter if they think it's true and you kind of feel like it's true. If it says it in here and you're not obedient to here, you are going against the Supreme Court. Let me give you an example of this. I had this young feller. He lived with us for a while. He was kind of a troubled kid at times. And he came in. This is a few churches ago. He came into my office and he said to me, he said, Levi, I'm moving in with my girlfriend. And you said it was okay. And I said, what? What are you talking about, dude? I never told you that was okay. What are you saying here? And so he says, well, you spoke at Christmas time and you said Mary and Joseph were engaged. They were promised to be married, and it was just like marriage. And so I'm engaged, and it's just like marriage, and so I'm moving in with my girlfriend. That is not at all, number one, that is not at all what I meant by that. I did say that, but that is not what I meant by that. And so I said, okay, well, let's go to the scriptures. And we went through multiple passages, but we landed on one passage. And there's one passage in there that says this, in the Supreme Court, and the ruling is, should you live with your boyfriend and girlfriend before marriage? This is what it says. Keep the marriage bed pure. So, the answer to your question is no. So if, and I, so I said, I didn't say this to them, but say this to him. I didn't say, you know, you're making a demonic choice, but in essence, that's what he was doing. He was making a demonic choice. He was making this choice outside of the Supreme Court. It's not because God doesn't want him to have fun. It isn't because God doesn't love him or care about him or any of that. It's because he wants to protect him. And so we walked through that. He's married now. They have a couple of kids. He's still as crazy as ever. I love the guy. But we had to walk through that. We had to walk through that story. That's an easy one. Some of you are into gossip. And you don't even know you're doing it at times. And someone says, hey, you know, that hurt my feelings when you did that. And you go back to the scriptures and it talks about it all the time. Stop that. Right? Stop gossiping. Stop doing that. You protect the unity of people. You protect the relationship of people, right? You know, I've been doing this job a long time, and you get to see a lot of things. You get to see the brokenness of humanity, and you get to see the brokenness of just how things work. And one of the things that has often come into my desk and people have said to me is this. They said, I'm living in a loveless marriage. I spoke to God and God told me, you should get a divorce. Nope. What does he say? What does it say? God hates divorce. There are some clauses in there, and we could talk about that, and there's some times where people's hearts are hardened and God allows for it. Jesus talks about that. But no, he did not tell you that. No. You did not hear that from the word of the Lord. One of the ways that we know if we're following, we're being obedient, we're agreeing with it, is we find it in Scripture and we ask that question. If it's questionable, you should go back to the Scripture. So Holy Spirit, the forgotten God, the third member of the Trinity, he's a tremendous help to us. You know, he helped Jesus and he helps us and he wants to help you and he loves you and he wants to lessen some of the burdens and some of the struggles and some of the things that you go through. And he often reminds us of Scripture. We're sitting there and we don't know what to do. I was just having this conversation out in the hall. This is in my notes for our Chinese translation, so I apologize. But I was out in the hall, and this guy told me, he goes, you know, I was praying for wisdom. I went to James, and it says, you pray for wisdom, and you go, God, you tell me. And God gave me wisdom in this moment. He had one job offer, and he said, God, I just don't really feel like this is right, but if you want me to take it, I'm going to take it. But if not, like, you just give me wisdom in this thing. And God answered him. He had another job offer, much better job offer. And it's not always a blessing like that, but he was so excited because he saw the hand of God move in his life. And through the work of the Word of God and through the Holy Spirit moving in his life to go, hey, I need to pray for wisdom in this thing. This happens, right? This happens to me at times. Where the Holy Spirit does things. You know, one of my weaknesses is sometimes I get frustrated with people. I get frustrated. They say things that are nasty sometimes, and they say things that are unclear, and they say things to me that you probably wouldn't say to anyone, and they say it, and they're coming at me at times. And sometimes I feel like I'm misrepresented, and I got all this pity party up here right now, okay? Sometimes I want to light them up. I want to light them up with my words. And what I'm saying, I really feel like I'm justified. This happened to me this week. There is something that came out, and this lady misrepresented what I actually said. She misunderstood what I said. And everything in me wanted to call her and just light her up with the truth, right? You always know when you want to use the truth as a weapon, it's probably not of God, just so you know. It's probably not of God. And so I was sitting in my chair at home and I was writing this sermon and I just felt like the Spirit was just telling me, hey, you got to ease up, buddy. You got to calm down. And I said, God, I don't know what to do here. You just need to give me patience. And I began to pray. I don't know what exactly happened and I didn't have all the details in this thing. And so 2 minutes later, I get an email from a lady who's out of state saying, you know, I just felt like God telling me to pray for you. This is no joke. This really happened. To pray for you that you would have words that are gentle and kind and that you would be led by the Spirit in whatever conversations you're going to have today. Amen, right? And I'm like, whoa, okay, God. So I called this person up and I did not light them up. I was very generous and gentle, and really it was a misunderstanding. It was a misunderstanding. Some of it my bad. Some of it mine. Some of my responsibility and lack of communication skills. Some of it hers. But it was awesome. And it worked exactly how the Scripture said you're supposed to do it. Go figure, right? Wise counsel is another way God speaks to you. This isn't like the smartest guy in the class, like the guy who knew calc in his head. And that's not It can be, but it's not always. Wise counsel in the scripture, it takes a few things. One is that the Spirit of the living God is in them, that they know the Word of God, and they love Jesus, right? And those are who you want to have speak into your life in that wise counsel. God uses those people in our life. They're filled with the Spirit. They know the Word of God. You go, yeah, back to this whole thing. I get the privilege of working with men who and people who know the Word of God, love Jesus deeply. Spirit is in them. And there's times where I'm writing something and I don't want to be too harsh. And I'll ask them, hey, would you just read my email? Just make sure that I'm not. And they'll tell me. They're honest with me. They give me wise counsel in those types of things. Prayer is another way that God speaks to us. You begin to pray and God will often begin to speak to you. I was stressing out, and I've told you this, I was stressing out about the Capitol campaign and just getting the right people on the in the right seats on the bus, and God kept putting these people, I was praying about it, and God kept putting these people on my mind, I said, no, God, they're too busy, I'm not going to ask them, I'm not going to do it, and finally I said yes, and it was absolutely the right thing, but God spoke to me through prayer. It was the right thing. Circumstances. I had this kid in my, or a guy in my office. He wasn't a kid. He was a grown man. And he said, Pastor, I like this girl. But I don't know what to do. And I said, well, does she love the Lord? Yeah. Yeah, she does. Have you talked to her? Nope. Well, I'm like, that might be your starting point. I don't know. Might be your starting point. So he talks to her, and she has zero interest in him. Zero. He comes back, and he tells me this, and he's kind of sad about it, and a little hurt, of course. But he moves on, and he meets another girl. And she loves the Lord. And here's the thing. She loves him. They get married. And so one circumstance, red light. Burp, 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 stop. She didn't like you, dude. Move on, right? Green light on the other one, right? Circumstances sometimes dictate that. Supernatural. God shows up in unexpected ways. Not every dream that you have is the voice of God. Just so you know that. Sometimes you ate too much Taco Bell, right? But other times he does show up, right? We see this. We see this in the Christmas story. He shows up to Joseph in a dream. Shows up to Joseph in a dream. Supernatural. Mary gets an angel right in front of her, right? Totally supernatural. He gets a dream, she gets an angel. But those are supernatural communications, not the primary form of how God communicates. But he can do that. The point here is that we listen, we take to heart, we obey, because there's no other way. What has the Father been saying to you? What's the Father been saying to you? Are you listening or are you distracted? Are you listening or are you arguing? Are you listening or are you plugging your ears? I know what he's going to say. I don't want to do it. I don't want to hear it. If you were hearing but not agreeing and obeying, maybe that's why you're here today. Truly. That God wants you to hear this. You know why? Because he loves you. He cares about you. He wants the very best for you. He's not trying to wreck your fun or ruin your life. He wants good for you. Let's move on. Verse 3. We get to some fun stuff now. He says, behold, I will rebuke your offspring and spread dung on your faces, the dung of the offerings, and you shall be taken away with it. This is worse than egg on your face. Maybe also where Queen stole some of their lyrics to We Will Rock You. You got dung on your face, you big disgrace. God's going to kick your can all over the place, right? Don't quote me on that. I'm not sure, but I'm pretty sure that's true. God biffs them with a gif. And you guys remember the movie Back to the Future? Yeah, I could do this all day. I got a junior higher in this passage, living inside me, and this passage is made for me. And this is Pastor Travis's. This is probably his life verse. He's got it memorized. And, you know, this is true. It's not really his life verse, but he does have every weird dung type of verse memorized. Test him sometime. He'll probably hit me for telling you that, but it is absolutely true. It's amazing how many verses of this nature he has memorized. Here's what's happening from last week. We know that the priests were offering lame, blind, sick offerings. They were offering the little Bo Peeps that should have went on the one-way walk, right? They were told, though, they were supposed to offer an unblemished lamb. And the idea behind that was there is great value in that. It was great value to them. But the value came not just in the unblemished lamb, but the lamb was the representative of their sins. And their sins were being put onto the lamb and killed for the lamb. It was a substitute for the sinners. And what the priests were doing was not that. They were giving these kind of knockoff lambs, not very valuable, waste not, want not type lambs. And what they were supposed to do in this offering system was they were supposed to take out the entrails of the animal. And those were considered to be unclean, and they were to take them outside of the city, and they were to burn them outside of the city. The offal was what it was called. They were supposed to take all of these things out and take the internal organs, some of the internal organs, not all of them, and they were to burn them. What the priests were doing, they're like, that's good enough. We'll just burn that up right on the old offering there. And so they were taking the unclean parts of the animal. Not only was this a blind, lame, sick offering, they also were leaving all of this stuff inside of the animal. So God says, okay, you keep shoving this dung in my face. How about we reverse the roles and I will wipe it on your face, right? Sometimes we are shoving things in God's face that we wouldn't want anyone wiping on our face. And we may ask, well, why is he rebuking the offspring? Remember, students become like their teacher. And what these people are teaching, what these priests are teaching is garbage. It's dung. It's poppycock. It's silliness. And God is upset with the priests because they're feeding the kids dung. And you might read this and you might go, wow, God's just angry. Just an angry God. But let me put this in context. And if you can't handle this one, I apologize. Already for this illustration. But let's think about this. You have a date night with your wife. She searches out and she finds the most wonderful, wonderful babysitter. This babysitter is kind. She's responsible. She went through babysitting 101 course. She is fantastic. She knows CPR for kids. She knows all of the numbers in her head for poison control. She's got it all, right? So you let her watch your children. And you have a 3-year-old and a 1-year-old. Well, you come home, and she's responsible for the kids at this point. And she's just changed the 1-year-old's diaper, and it was a number twosie, right? And then you see her take the diaper, and she starts feeding it to your kids. There's none of us in here who would be like, oh, we're not going to judge her. We're not going to judge her. It's okay that she just fed our kids that. Why? Because your kid's going to get sick. That's what God is upset about. These kids are eating garbage. They're eating dung. And it's bad for them. They're going to get sick. He's angry for a good reason. The teachers, the priests look good. They look like they have it all together. They look like they're spiritual. They have nice PowerPoints and smoke machines. They're killing it on the memes, right? On social media. Their packaging is good, but the content is dung. That's why God is upset, is because his leaders are feeding the children that. If you just read this and you go, whoa, God is angry. That's just not true. Kids are eating spiritual garbage and they're getting sick. He loves his kids and knows if he continues, it's going to do them great harm. It's going to do them great harm. So he's mad at those who are feeding them. I think we do this sometimes. We feed our kids garbage and we don't even know it. So let me talk to you dads for just a second. If you're at home and you're teaching your kids, hey, it's okay to watch whatever on TV or on Netflix or whatever your source of entertainment is, because you're an adult and you can handle it. Let me just say to this, I don't think that's true. And you're going to have dung on your face. I don't think God likes that. It's just not true. Moms, I don't want to leave you out of the fun. So if you're teaching your kids, hey, we can disrespect dad if we don't like what he says. Guess what? You're going to have dung on your face. You're going to be accountable for that because you're teaching, you're leading. That's garbage. And you as teachers will be held accountable for it. Let's move on. Verse 4. So shall you know that I have sent this command to you, that my covenant with Levi may stand, says the Lord of hosts. My covenant with him was one of life and peace, and I gave them to him. It was a covenant of fear, and he feared me. He stood in awe of my name. True instructions was in his mouth, and no wrong was found in his lips. He walked with me in peace and uprightness, and he turned many away from iniquity. So Levi was the first priest. He was a descendant of Aaron. This is the Levitical priesthood. Which descends from Levi, Leviticus, Levitical law. God has a covenant with him, and it's one that's is of peace and life. And so God is entering into this loving relationship, and he commissions a whole generation after generation to fulfill this role as teacher leaders, to lead and to feed his people as these priests. And it comes out of the line of Levi, and he has this covenant with him. And so he wants him to instruct a true word of God to them. And so what we see here is that Levi did that. He did a good job of that. And it turned people away from iniquity, turned people away from sin. What God is doing here is he's giving some basic definitions of leadership. Leaders know what to walk away from and who to walk with. It's a very simple definition of leadership. He says, Levi walked away from iniquity and walked with God, and as a result, many turned from their iniquity and sin. He's speaking to kind of senior leadership right now. Remember, this is a family meeting, and he's gathered everyone because everyone has people that are following them. And so that's no different than us. Some of you are coaches, some of you are mentors, some of you are grandparents, some of you are aunts or uncles or older brothers or sisters. You're a friend, you're a parent. You have leadership roles at work. Whatever that God has called you to do or to have areas of leadership, there are people watching you, the people that are following you. Every leader must listen to the Lord, and then the next step is to follow him. The first step of leadership is being a follower, right? The New Testament says this. It says that follow me as I follow Christ. Follow me as I follow Christ. The problem that we have in the text is that people are following, but the leaders are not following. And so you have the blind leading the blind, and everyone's going to fall off the cliff. That's the situation that he's addressing at the family meeting. If you're a leader, you better know where you're going. And that's the principle that he's teaching here. So this is a moment I get to talk about us as a church. Here's what's awesome. You guys are easy to lead. You guys are really easy to lead. And I'm thankful for that. And we don't have any major issues. We have issues, but we don't have major issues. We just got back from a leadership retreat last weekend, and the pastors went first, and then the rest of the leadership team came a day later. And here's what I can tell you. These guys absolutely love you. And I want to lead you into a relationship with God and with others and to know how to do that. They love you, guys, truly. More importantly than that, they love Jesus. They love the Lord. They absolutely love the Lord. And that's their heart, is to help, to lead, and to guide, and to direct, and to encourage all of us here to follow Jesus. My wife will tell you this. I am not one for flattery. I'm not actually one that's often good at compliments. It's not in my nature. But I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you today. I want you to know that you guys have been doing an awesome job as the leadership comes and they love you and care about you and love the Lord of following and going, hey, how do we do this? What does this look like? And how do we create this family of God that is going to be a representation of the local church, the bride of Christ? You guys have been doing an awesome job. And so thank you. You've made it fun and made it easy. The word that he had to the people of Malachi was a word of correction. I don't think that's the word that he would have for us. If God was writing this to Evangel right now, I think he would say something a little bit different. I think he would be more of an encouragement. Keep on going, guys. Keep believing I can do more than you can imagine. Keep believing that. Keep loving people in Houghton County and wanting them to know me. Keep doing that. Keep believing that I can change hearts. Keep believing that I don't want anyone to perish, and you guys get to come alongside and be my hands and feet to proclaim the good news of who Jesus is. Keep doing that. That's good. Let me just say here, if you're new here with us, you are surrounded by some awesome, awesome people who absolutely, truly love Jesus. No one is expecting perfection out of anyone, because none of us are perfect. But we all desire to have progress in our life. And the leadership and the church, we want to have health. We want to be healthy in our relationship with God, because he's a relational God, and we want to be healthy in our relationships with others. That's our goal. Let's go on. For the lips of the priest, he's going to talk about the priest again. For the lips of a priest should guard knowledge, and people should seek instruction from his mouth, for he is the messenger of the Lord. But you have turned aside from the way. You have caused many to stumble by your instructions. You have corrupted the covenant of Levi, says the Lord of hosts. And so I make you despised and abased before all people, inasmuch as you do not keep my ways, but show partiality in your instructions. So this partiality instruction, what does that mean? The priests were there to be messengers to God's people, and they became editors to God's people. They edited the word of God. That was problematic. They took God's ways and they edited it into their ways. That never works well. Never works well. Let me just say this. Some of you have crazy beliefs. You have crazy beliefs. And I will guarantee this. You can go on the Google and you will find another crazy to join your beliefs. Just because there's two crazy believing something doesn't mean that it's right or correct. They were editing the word of God. They were taking this spiritual food and they're saying, what is it in it for me? At Evangel, we want you to dine on good spiritual food. There is terrible spiritual food out there, and you rarely will ever see me call out people. I never talk about another church. We don't do that here. Man, if you're preaching the word of God, we are for you. We're praying for other churches in our women. We want every church in here to be filled up that loves Jesus. Absolutely, right? But when there are some people who are false teachers, sometimes you've got to warn people. Man, I love Rob Bell. I think he's awesome. 90% of what he says, I absolutely love. There's about 10% of it, I will tell you, is false teaching. It's false. It's not true. Richard Rohr, he's a mystic. I've read him fairly extensively. He's kind of a really popular guy out there right now. He's a false teacher. He's got some really great things to say, really interesting, really fascinating. I think he borders on some truth, and then he edits God's word. Jen Hademaker, she's a heretic. She has some good things to say. And some of the stuff they say, whoa, does it sound good? Rob Bell will tell you this. You know what? God is going to rescue everyone. Doesn't matter if you believe in Jesus or not. Man, I wish that was true. In some ways, notice I say wish and not hope. Hope comes out of this. Hope comes out of this. It does not indicate that in here. It does not indicate that in here. I wish it was true because I don't want people to go to hell. I don't understand that exactly. He's a false teacher. You will hear this at times. People will say, and Rob Bell and Jen Hademaker and Richard Rohr will all say this, that we're all children of God. And you can make an argument that we're all children of God through some of the scriptures, through some of the text, in one sense. But here's the sense is what it's talking about, that we're created in the image of God. Not that we're children of God. The Bible says that we are children of wrath, not children of God. Let me give you one passage of scripture, back to the Supreme Court. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. So if anybody tells you this, that all roads lead to heaven, they're lying to you. They're lying to you. They're a false teacher. It's not true. It's not true. Our goal at Evangel is that our teachers would be chefs of the Word of God, that we would only serve good, nutritious food, what is pure, and from that we'd rightly divide this, and that we would cook up good meals. And ultimately, it would honor God, and that we would listen together, and we would agree, and we would obey, and that cycle of honor would happen in our lives and in our lives. We have a hope, and we have a class that teaches you how to go through. It'll meet next Sunday morning at 9:30. We have a class that goes through how do you read the scripture? How do you understand it? How do you unpack it? And they're working through that because we want our people to be able to be good chefs of the Word of God. We want people to listen, to agree, and to obey what the Word of God says. We start with open ears. That we would open the Word of God. Let me say this really quickly. I want to be as humble enough to say is we don't always get everything right on the major things. I will tell you, I am pretty convinced, otherwise I wouldn't say it, but we may get something wrong or you may have a question on something. And we have a phone number. You can text at any time. We will walk you through how we got there. If you question something that we're saying, please, 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 just ask us, because we want to tell you where we got there or how we got there. If you use that and you say, I don't like the color of the chairs in the sanctuary, this is what you're going to get back. I don't care, just so you know. But if you have a question about the Word of God, we want to help you. And we'll be honest, if we misstepped, we'll tell you that. You know, but it's not going to be on something that Jesus is Lord. He's the only way. It's not going to be on something like that. It may be some little theological thing that, oh yeah, you could see it that way. It's going to be a circle that's way out here. But we want to give you that option. We want to walk with you in that. I'm kind of done. Band, you can come up, but I'm going to just talk for a little bit here. You got to get in the Word of God. You got to get into it. You know, my job is pretty awesome. My job, you guys pay, the church pays me to open the Word of God and study this thing. It's awesome. That's a really great job. Not all of you get to have that. It's mine. But we all have the ability to open the Word of God. You know, one of the things that I don't do well, I study. I study the Word of God every day. I'm in it and in it to win it with God, going like, what do you want me to say on Sunday morning? How do you want me to do this? But devotionally, like sometimes to refuel me, I don't always do that as well as I should or could. One of the things that I've started is, for me, I've been working through the Gospels because I want to hear from the Word of God in the mornings. When I'm taking my shower in the morning, I have an Echo Dot in our bathroom. And I say this, Alexa, Bible app, John chapter 3. And she reads John chapter. It's awesome. I'm sitting in the shower hearing the Word of the Lord, right? It's awesome. There's lots of ways. We live in an incredible time. Get into the Word of God. Our kids, my wife and I were having, they're getting a little older now and things are busy and it's hard. Bedtime's hard. You got homework. You got to want it. You got this. You got that. You got all these things. And we used to do a little bit better job of pouring into them when they were small and it was bedtime and there was routine. And we miss that a little bit and we're not doing as well on that. And we still have family dinners where we open the Word of God together and those types of things. But I said, well, why don't we, at breakfast time, just, again, Alexa's reading. They're working through the book of Mark right now. 10:10, 8:7. And they're working through the book of Mark right now, and they're listening as they eat breakfast because we want the Word of God to be in them. And so I want to encourage you, if you're not in the Word of God, there's many ways to do it. You can do it on your phone. You can do it through the old paper, this type. Or you can do it through your Echo Dot or whatever you have, and it will read it to you. But get the Word of God in you. Second thing is you need to pray. However that looks for you, and you start to pray and God starts to speak. It's just how it is. And so maybe for you, you're like, man, I don't have like this designed quiet time. I'm not going to tell you to do that. Maybe it's on your way to work. I'm going to give 15 minutes as I drive to work. That's a long commute for up here, I know. In my shower time, I'm gonna go, God, I wanna cry out to you. I'm gonna speak these things to you and I wanna hear you. I wanna listen because we need to listen so we can hear and we can agree and we can obey. I just wanna challenge you to do that today. That you would start to get in there. You need to seek wise counsel. You need to ask the Holy Spirit. Whatever you need to do, just go after that. But understand that God wants to speak to you. He wants you to follow Him. He wants you to hear. He wants you to listen. He wants you to agree. And He wants you to obey. Because He's a good, good God and He loves you so, so very much. He loves us so very much. He wants the very best for His kids. Let's pray. Father, we come. You're an awesome God. We're so thankful that you gave us the Word of God. We're so thankful that you gave us Jesus, that we are no longer sons and daughters of wrath, but we can call you Daddy. We can cry out, Abba, Father, to you, and you hear us, and you respond to us. God, we're thankful for that. God, as we go about our lives, sometimes it gets busy and we get distracted. Sometimes we have earplugs in. God, let us take the earplugs out. Let us hear your voice. Let us know that you are a good, good, good God who wants the very, very best for us. You want us to hear you, to agree with you, and to be obedient because it's the very best way to live. We're never more human than when we're following you. Thanks for your Son, Jesus. It's in His name we pray. Amen.